hear anything, I hope. Hello? Great, thank you. Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, Captain Spaceship. You won't believe the stuff is going through. I have to go through to get this show on the road, so you all better be very happy. I think I got the music thing working. So I just wrote this song last night. It's called Wave at Each Other. I do a new song almost every day, pretty much. I have about three or four songs going on at the same time. So hope everything is coming across okay. This is Andy Lopez, better known as the Invisible Gardener. If I'm having any problems, my engineer will, of course, tell me about it. Otherwise, everything's a go, 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 go. So today, let's see. I got so involved with all this stuff because you don't believe the manual I have to read and everything I got to go through here just to get this thing together that I didn't even... I prepared a little bit, but I have no real excuse. So today I'm going to continue with my talks about bricks, about using the refractometer. Let me see if I get the my voice down just a little bit. There you go. That's nice. I like that right there. That sounds good. if you are listening and you have questions, the best way is really to just call me and talk to me. I'm here to talk to people. I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I have helped people stay together because, you know, husband wants to use them, their chemicals, and the wife doesn't. Isn't that funny? but if you want to talk to me, there are several ways. Right through BBS Radio PR, which is you call directly into Skype. I have to learn how to do that because I end up dialing the numbers instead of entering the thing how to call. But that's it, BBS Radio PR. That will get you to, you'll call directly to Skype and you'll be on this show with me. You can talk to me. You can also call a direct line, which is 701-719-4207. That's a direct line. The 800 number is 1-888-627-6008. That's a toll-free line. Another way you can communicate with me, even though it's not instant, if you send me emails, I unfortunately don't have another hand, otherwise I would be, or another monitor, I can monitor my emails. But so what happens is if you send me email, I can read it and I will answer your questions in the following show. That's also one way you can enter the show, enter the contest is by sending me an email. One of the ways that I would prefer you enter the contest is to go to my website and sign up to receive my newsletter. And the newsletter, there are a variety of things that I do on the newsletter. I inform people about the contest is one of them. You can see my last three or four blogs that I have written, access to my music, access to the website. Some parts of the website is for members. It shows you how to get the podcast because there's a way to get a podcast for this. Just so you folks know, my show has done over 100,000 downloads last year just from iTunes and from TalkShoe. I haven't even added what I did here on BBS Radio. I have to figure out. See, these guys have it already added for me, but what I have to do in BBS Radio is to go through and figure out a way to total them all up. So I can get a total of it. It's approximately, I don't know, maybe 2,000 a month. And if you assume I may have been a year, I'm not sure. So that's about 20,000 downloads. So we have around 100,000 downloads. That's only counting those or a bunch of other places that the show is also rebroadcast in a lot of different ways. A podcast. So it goes out right here on the BBS. It goes out to tons of different podcast places. So enter the newsletter. All I ask is that you stay in the newsletter. Well, in the newsletter, if you're getting the newsletter already, there's a button you click on. We'd send out a brand new newsletter. It'll say, email me. It has my email name, address. You click on it. A little form comes up, tells you, please enter me in the contest. All you have to do is say, I heard you on BBS Radio or wherever station you heard from. You get automatically entered in the contest. And what I've been doing is automatically sending you back. When I get an email that says this person, so I click on that and I click on your email and it automatically opens up my email program and allows me to say thank you for entering the contest, listening to my radio show. Here is your book. Here's your gift. And basically it's the Don't Panic, It's Organic, the ebook version of it, which is for sale for $10 if you want to buy it. That's great. But you can get it for free. Okay, so today, and then let's see, I have this month, I think there's still two more weeks left in this month. Let me see. It says it's January. It isn't January. It's two more Saturdays left in this month before the contest is over with. This month, I'm giving away, every month I give a lifetime membership away, okay? Sometimes I add some things to it. Sometimes I would say, okay, instead of a lifetime membership, you're going to get something else. But usually you're going to get the lifetime membership, which comes along with, it's normally $55 value, right? You pay $55. That means you pay $55 for it. But,
Here's what I found on the web for
this is funny. my series. My phone decided to answer. I love Siri. Don't you love her? Anyway, so the best way is to go up on the website, invisiblegardener.com, and sign up for the newsletter. Once you get the newsletter every month, I try to send one once a week. Maybe we're going to end up sending it twice a week so we can inform you of the current information, what's happening. There's lots of stuff going on. And I also do a blog, a column for different publications, so I post the columns. And there's information on what's going on with, the blog that I do on my website. There's tons of stuff I do on my blog on my website. I also have special discounts going on and all kinds of things going on. Members get a discount on products. I have a new batch of super seaweed that I made, and I'll be talking about that down the road when I talk about foliar applications. I'm going to talk a little bit about it today because we're talking about bricks. And a few people have asked me, first of all, the refractometer, how do they know which one to buy, what to get? So today I'm going to be talking about the refractometer a little bit. I have several different types of refractometers with me that I don't use them all. For some reason, I ended up with them because I have one that I've had for, 10 years now. It's the most expensive one. Actually, it didn't cost me anything. I had the Leica company owner on my show, and I ended up with one. It's my favorite one, okay? And then I also have a refractometer that I bought. All the rest of them I bought. So I have one that basically it's a digital. Okay, so the digital one cost me $300. I think that's the cheapest one that I could find. It's exactly that. It's digital. You put a battery in the back and it has the numbers in the front and a well where you put your sample to test. It's a very fussy little device because you first starters you can't really use it outdoors because then you can't see the digital readout. So you have to do it in the car, for example, so the sunlight's not, or in a room where you have to walk inside a room where you can see it. Plus it can't get wet, easy to break, you dropped it, you broke it, all kinds of stuff that comes along with digital stuff, okay? So I also have two other ones which are analog. That means they're not digital. You don't have to put a battery in it. It works purely by the mechanism of it. As I explained before, that a refractometer is basically a device that's used in the several different industries. In farming, in let's see, wine, and I don't know if you call it the winery industry, but it's used in for alcoholic beverages, from wine to beer. It's also used in the juice industry, which, like, you know, for apple juice, orange juice, those things. It's also used in the manufacturing business. They can test for different types of metals and so forth, and equipment, and whether something's working or not. It's used in astronomy to determine the composition of planets and stars by refracting the light, and the light tells you, basically, the light tells you the elements that's in it. And it's used in agriculture. As I said, it's used in agriculture mainly for the juice and stuff like that. But a long time ago, maybe, let's see, thousands and thousands of years ago. I encountered the refractometer in the 70s when I was doing my radio show. At that time, well, for a long time, up until maybe 1990-something, I was doing the brick-and-mortar type of radio show where you go to the studio, you put on headphones, you have all these wonderful equipment to play with and stuff, right? So I think it was, let's see, 71, 72, 73, something else, somewhere around there, 74, somewhere around in that time period, I first ran into I first heard about a refractometer, and I heard about it through World Organic Gardening Magazine. And they talked about Brix levels, and they talked about refractometer. And I also then heard at the same time from Kerry Reams, R-E-A-M-S, Kerry Reams. And then I also heard it by that time I was, you know, involved more with giving talks. I've been giving talks for a long, long time. So I used to go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, a place called Nitron Industries. They're still in business now. They have a product called Nitron A35. You guys should write that down, Nitron A35. It's an Ensign product invented by a good old boy there. Oh, they don't live there anymore. They're not alive anymore. But and I'm hearing a fan. No, it's the computer fan that's doing it. It's called Nitron A35. So they would give conferences and invite me as a speaker. And I went there for many years. And every time I went there, we started running into people who would come up to me and talk to me about all the different things I was talking about. Because it turns out I was not the only one discovering all these things and learning about all these things and working on these things. And so they would talk to me about how they were using the refractometer, and they would show me the refractometer. And this is when I was, early 20s, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know how old I was since 1970. I'm not going to spend the time to try to figure out if I'm 30, 40. I don't know. I got married when I was 27, so that was in 1979, so 78, 79, so something like that. So it was like maybe 20 years old, something like that. Anyway, so I decided, to look it up, to get more involved with the refractometer, because at that time I was involved with radionics. So radionics is another interesting science I love to talk about someday and explore more with you all and explain to you how it works. But basically it has to do with energy and frequency and the signatures that they each have. But a refractometer is a more down-to-earth product, and that it just measures, it refracts the light as it passes through, and it tells you the elements in it. And so mainly in agriculture, what's been what people have been using it for is to measure the sugar level of your fruit or your food. So if you had the if you have tomatoes, for example, that's where I first learned about it, in the sense that it was called tomato mania, and it was all about tomatoes and organically grown tomatoes and stuff like that. And this one person basically did a refractometer testing on all the tomato, not the plants, but the tomatoes, and that's how he could tell what level, the Brix level of the tomato plant is. If you recall, in my last show, I said I'm giving away a book on Brix. It's an ebook that you can download. A friend of mine gave it to me. He says, please give it away. It has all the information about who he is and what he does, but it's all about Brix. So if you want to get that, just mention in the email or in the newsletter, I not only want to enter your contest, but you said you would give me your book free, Don't Panic, It's Organic, and the Brix book free, and I would send them to you. If you don't say anything, right, I won't know who you are. I just entered the contest, and I'm not going to send anything. But if you say, I listen to you on BBS Radio or whatever radio, Talk to You or whatever radio, iTunes, through the podcast, just say that so I know where you're getting it from. And also, I know you're listening to the show. Tell me you're listening to the show, please. I need that. And then I will send you the book back. And if you mention a Brix, I will send you the Brix, because I'll be doing different offers throughout the year. So now it's the Brix when I do Brix. So, for example, when I do talk about mosquitoes, I have a mosquito book, e-book that I can send you. I have lots of e-books which will correspond. Like when I do the Rock Dust Month, you're going to get the free Rock Dust e-book that I can send out to you. In the Don't Panic, It's Organic book, I do have a lot of information on the Brix, but I decided not to reproduce the information in this Brix book. I didn't do the chart, for example, which is one of the main things you want to get out of the Brix book, is to get the chart. Okay, what's going on here? Sorry, I had to do that. I can't help it. I love writing music. This particular one has a Tibetan, several different things going on. It has a frequency that which is a 82.407 frequency. I also use in this one 110 frequency, and I use the a frequency that basically comes out of a Tibetan bell. It's a Tibetan singing bell. And there's, each different bell will have different sounds, that comes, that corresponds with the tone of the bell, okay? So, I been doing this for a long time. So the refractometer so what I did was, is that I started, I love the computer. Is somehow sometimes I turn on the voice and it starts talking back to me. And anyway, so I started using it on the tomatoes, of course, and then I did it on the apple, because you can squeeze the apple and oranges. So for example, you can take the orange and squeeze the juice down. That makes it real simple, right? You take the juice and you squeeze it onto the way you work, where it works. You want to get into the refractometer. It has a little, the digital as of well, but the analog has a little flip top, like a cell phone. It flips up, and there's a lens. In that lens, you put a couple of drops of the liquid you want to test, and you close the lens up, the top, the flip back on, and you look through the major looking eyepiece through it, and you point it at the light, so the light shines through the reflectometer and goes, you see it. In there, you'll see dark and light. You see an area that's white above and black down below. That line where the black and the white meets will cross a line of numbers. It will be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, all the way up to 32. Depends on the unit you're using. But for our purpose, 32 is about as high as you will need to go. So I would buy a beer testing unit, which falls within the range. Wine, anything else would be too high, and you don't really need to go that far up, and you want to get accurate readings, so the beer is fine. I have bought one refractometer from Amazon. It was $35, and I bought another one for $95. Of course, I have one that's worth about $10,000, and I have my digital, and they all give the exact same reading. Put them in there, same reading. Okay, so that means you can go down as low as $35 if you want to have a refractometer to play with and learn how to use. So anyway, I started with taking the, because that's what you do. You take the juice of the plant and squeeze it on there. So lots of different things you can mix juice out of. And then I, as being a creative type of person, I said, well, what if I took the leaf and put it on there? So the leaf, if you can crush it enough, you can get some green juice to come out of the leaf, which is also a trick all by itself to get it. And I did the same thing with grass, because I'm a wheatgrass eater, so you know how you get this wheatgrass juice, right? So I figured, well, lots of different ways I can get the juice out of just wheatgrass. I can get it from other things. So lots of different ways you can crush the juice of the leaf of a plant or a tree. And I also do the flowers. You're going to get different results from the leaf of a tomato plant, say, than if you get from the flower or the juice or the tomato. I'm happy to try to explain to you why there are the difference, but basically it really comes down to in the plant, in the body, it's different. The sugar levels are different requirements in the body of the plant itself as opposed to the fruit or the juice. The fruit or the juice will change in the sugar level simply by it ripening. So if you test an orange when it's first off the plant, it will have one sweet level. That you let it ripen, it will have another simply by the sugar level increasing through ripening. Whereas in the plant will should have the same reading from one leaf or another one. If it has different reading, it's called dislocation. That basically means that there's something wrong with the plant, and it's not spreading out the nutrients throughout the plant or the tree. What I've done is I take a sample of a tree, and I've learned from experience, this is what a healthy tree would look like. Well, in the BRICS level, this is what the BRICS level of a healthy tree of this type during this time of year would look like, because at different times of year, the BRICS readings would be different, because it has a, if the temperature is freezing outside, your BRICS level are not going to be very high. Think of it as maple syrup. The warmer it gets, the more it flows. Like that kind of stuff, right? During wintertime, things don't flow as much through trees. They slow down. There's a different BRICS level. So you get to know what the BRICS level of a healthy plant during that time of year that you're doing it with.
I get a motor and pistol, a little motor and pistol, and I have clean distilled water. So if I want to do a leaf, I'll take that piece of leaf and wear gloves, because your hands, oil in your body would change it too, you know. So I would wear gloves, crush it, take a little piece, put it in my motor and pistol and try to crush it up. I would add a drop or two of distilled water to it, crush it up. And then if I can get with a dropper, squeeze out a juice and then squeeze the juice up back onto the refractometer, you get your reading. Now, what I was trying to explain to you last month is that this is the secret, this is the key to everything that I've been doing. And it's actually the single most important thing that I can relay to my listeners, that I can relay to people. Here is a tool that you can use that will show you if you are doing it correctly or if things are happening correctly, right? This is the key to it, because if you learn how to use a refractometer, if you learn how to read the BRICS level of a plant, whether it be tomato, if you can take a BRICS level of the carrots, how do I do carrots? Well, again, you take a little bit of the carrot, you crush it into the motor, it's a motor and pistol, you crush, add a few drops of water until you get a nice paste and squeeze it out. and squeeze the juice out, and then put that on the refractometer. And you can do that with lettuce. You can do that with any vegetable plant you want to test. I have a little. I've done lawns. You can do roses. So with roses, you do the leaf, but you also can do the flower, a little bit of a rose pebble. You put that in there. So that you'll learn the difference in the plants. Well, you have plants that have flowers, for example, like roses and hibiscus and things like that. You're measuring the flower for a specific reason. That means that this is what the tree is producing. So the tree, the flower will give you some idea of the mineral that the plants have to use. In a lot of cases, you can tell just by looking. The plant's producing flowers, and it's growing really, looks really healthy, has been taken care of organically. You can see. So you don't even need the refractometer after a while. You go, well, it's telling me it's happy and healthy, right? But if you are trying to diagnose problems, there are lots of different areas that you want to look at, okay? Just like in the human body, right? If you want to see what's something wrong with the body, you can test the blood, you test your hair, right? You can test your fingernails, you can test other parts of your body, skin, other things that you can test, which should give you an idea of what's going on in your body, other than by just looking at a person, right? So a refractometer is just a physical tool that you can use to try to solve problems. Basically, because if there's nothing wrong, if you're doing everything right, you'll see it. You'll see the results. Everything will be tasty. Everything will be doing good, and bugs will go somewhere else. So, in my business, I get called a lot when there's something wrong. They don't usually call me when everything is fine. So that's the way it works. I've learned how to, look for problems. This one, this song right here is called Alien Visitor. Let me see if I get it to work right. That's a Tibetan bell, singing bell. You get to sing. Okay, that's enough. I know you guys are here. You're all very serious. You're really here to learn. I want to say thank you for everybody who's been sending me emails. I appreciate the emails, and I appreciate the comments. Again, you can always feel free to call me on the radio show. That's what I love to talk to people. It's my favorite things to do. I don't mind sitting in front of the biggest audience I've had was like 10,000. And I made sure that they heard me, and we had a wonderful time. That's on the in person. I've done bigger audiences over the TV and other things. I was on the Home and Garden Network. Only a couple of shows until the show stopped. Anyway, so the BRICS measurement. So one of the things that I've learned, these are things that I have evolved with. You know how people say I have evolved in my thinking? Well, I have evolved in my thinking as I learn more, and I have more experiences which show me, the experiences tell me that this particular thing is true, because that happens. I see it. Because when I was young, I always, when I was young. There's a song named after that, When I Was Young. When I was 17. Anyway, so if you want to figure out how to call me, please just go to bbsradio.com and look me up, Invisible Gardener. The show is Don't Panic, It's Organic. You can always go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, click on radio show, tells you all the information there to call. I gave it away before. I should give it away regularly, the number to call, right? So that's the main number to call is 888-627-6008, okay? BBS Radio PR, if you want to get on to our chat here on Skype. Let me see. I hear music. Did you hear music? I'm looking at all the little typing thing. It's supposed to, it doesn't do it anymore. It used to show us the voice when I did it. That's kind of cool. I don't really need the voice to be doing anything. I don't think, right? Yeah. Okay, so I guess we're good because if we're not, I would rather the engineer would just tell me because I can't really be, everything gets disappeared in this computer. It's all doing things, you know. When I do a music, the music comes up and then I got to bring it back to the other program. I got 3 or 4 different programs going on here. Down the road, I'm going to get, he's typing. Down the road, I'm going to get a really cool another computer which has 3 monitors on it. I like state-of-the-art stuff. It's got 3 monitors, which then allows me to have all of them on the same time, see? So anyway, a refractometer, what I learned is that, okay, so it measures, Brix level is measurement of sugar, okay? So I always say the higher the Brix level, the less the pest and the less the disease. Now, why do I say that? So because I'm looking at, I'm thinking, well, high Brix level, sugar. What does that mean? Does that just mean it's sweet, right? It's just sweet. I mean, you. But when I look at plants that have supposedly high Brix level, whether it be a tomato plant or whether it be a grape plant or whether it be, you know, in those days, you only had to look at, you know, a citrus, for example, because, you know, the orange juice or an apple tree, you know, those are the ones that mainly, you know, there were a few other ones, but peaches, you know, that you eat, you know, they look pretty good. They look like they were doing really healthy. And I, for some reason, they weren't being attacked by plants or, you know, by bugs and diseases, you know. And even in the vegetable realm, when I started doing vegetables, I did lettuces and those things. They're doing really well. And yeah, the Brix level is high. So they must mean, Brix level must mean health, but not sugar. I mean, what does sugar have to do with health, right? Because me, I don't like sugar. I know that photosynthesis means sugar. The plants end up with a form of sugar. But there's also something else to that sugar thing that I discovered, not necessarily stumbled upon, but as a scientist, I make correlations. And so I've learned, from my experience, I've learned that minerals is very important. Trace minerals are very important. And I learned that separately from using a refractometer. I said, well, trace minerals are what we need. We need 96 different trace minerals. Human body needs 96 trace minerals. Animals need 96 different trace minerals. Trees, fruits, whatever, they need 96 different trace minerals. Interesting, we all need the same trace minerals. And so I'm going, trace minerals must have a relationship to Brix somehow, some way, somehow. So then the more, you know, I talk with people and more stuff, they say the same thing. They say, yeah, it has to do with mineral content. Really? Because, you know, refractometer, remember, breaks down. You can look at a star and determine the mineral, which is the elemental content of that star, which is also when you talk about minerals, you talk about the elements that the sugar is carrying. And so what happens is that I talk to you about the line, right? I like to, when I talk, I do, one of the things that I hope to do soon, and this is, I'm basically talking to my wonderful company here, bbsradio.com, is that go video live streaming, because then I could just do drawings and explain things like a real class, you know, because I'm going to get a blackboard. I think that I'm going to have to get me a chalk blackboard and we can see it. Somehow figure out a way to draw on it, or maybe draw on the computer so I can see there. There's lots of ways to expand this class, because this really is a class, this online class. But basically, if you look through it, you'll see white on top, black on the bottom. I don't know if you flip it upside down, will it do that? Will it flip the black on top and the white on the bottom? I'm not really sure. I'm looking for my refractometer. It's over here somewhere.
Hey, you, come out of here. Where are you? Oh, there it is.
I got tons of stuff here. Let's see if I flip the refractometer over, will it, that's a question I have to know. Okay, so I don't think I have enough light. Okay, right, hang on. All right, so it's black on the top. If I flip it over, okay, so yeah, you can't flip it over because if you flip it over, everything will fall out over off from the refractometer. So you basically have to hold it upright. So you have the white on top and the black on the bottom, and it's aligned where they meet. Now, it turns out that I was talking to some folks, and the folks said, yeah. I said, well, how do you determine which mineral it is, right? Because in the refractometer, this particular one does not, in the way they do the juices and stuff, it doesn't break it down into different colors. There are more expensive refractometer like that the astronomers use that break it down, and then the computer tells you iron, magnesium, copper. I would love to get one of those, and I'm thinking, figuring out how to weigh, because they're like 14,000, 20,000, you know, there must be a simpler tool, a simpler refractometer that I can get that will tell you the actual minerals. That will tell you what they are, right? And so I'm working on that. But so what happens? I asked that question, and we talked about it. These are all guys that have been using refractometers and stuff, and they say, okay, here's what everybody's decided, and they call it the fuzzy rule. Fuzzy rule, right? Fuzzy rule. So here's what it turns out. So that line between the black and the white, if it's really sharp, you look at it and it's like really defined sharp line, that usually means that there's probably one or two minerals there. Probably one. Maybe it's just calcium or iron or magnesium. Or just a few of them. Remember, you need 96. So the more of them you get, the more fuzzier that line is going to be. And that line gets to be so fuzzy that it actually widens a little bit so fuzzy. It's really, really, really super fuzzy, and that's just a sharp, small line. But so instead of a tiny quarter-inch line, you get a half-inch line of fuzziness, right? So it's called the fuzzy rule. I didn't make it up. It's called a fuzzy rule, which basically means, yeah, you have a lot of minerals in there, okay? I said, again, I would love to have a device, but it would be big, okay? It would not be a handheld one. It would have to be an equipment that you then put the juice in there, and the equipment will, you know, print out for you or whatever on the computer, whatever way, the minerals. I haven't run across that yet. I haven't really looked very hard because where do you look? but that's essentially what would happen. You have to buy a big equipment, and you have the problem there too is, okay, so you have the equipment, but you have to take the sampling from someplace. You're going to ship it to them. By the time it gets there, you're going to not going to get the same reading, okay? And you can't take the equipment out into the field unless you have it in a truck or something, then you drive out there and you can walk into the truck and do that. That's a whole different thing. I never heard of anything like that, but that may be it's not useful to have such a large amount of money invested just to get a reading more detailed. I think that there has to be another way. You can send it into the lab so they can physically break it down and tell you what the plant's made up. Probably the way to do that. Forget doing the breaks. Just test the plant, right? Just take the whole plant in and test it that way and break it down. That's probably what happens. So the use of a refractometer for this purpose is really limited to what it tells you. Okay? And so I develop a saying, the higher the bricks, the less the pests and less the minerals. And the reason for that is because the greater the minerals, the less the pests, the less the diseases. And so it has to do with minerals. It all has to do with minerals. Same thing in our bodies. When you're going through a mineral deficiency, you will have one type of illness or another, or a pest will attack you. And the same thing with plants. If the plants are undergoing a trace mineral deficiency, they will get attacked. And the way it has worked out is that certain trace mineral deficiency triggers certain diseases. That's the way the evolutionary thing has happened. It triggers certain pests. So I'll give you an example. And this is stuff that I have learned, and I'm in the process now of communicating with other professionals who are at least open to what I'm saying, look, this is what I have reached a conclusion. I want you to look at it and tell me yay or nay, and why good, why bad, and what you think, and so forth. And I'm not getting too many bites because people are going, what the heck are you talking about? What? or more precisely, you're going, WTF, WTF, because they have the famous idea what I'm talking about. And there are some people that do, but I really can't get a hold of them. Like, I would love to talk with Arden Anderson. Hey, Arden, if you listen to me, give me a call. I might give it a try anyway. Arden is the person I met in Fayetteville, Arkansas, ARD. He was giving a talk, and he's a doctor who became a farmer to learn about plants and minerals, then take that knowledge back to being a doctor, right? So, so the trace minerals are important. I'll give you an example. Okay, so trees. So there are lots of different pest attacking trees. One particular one is the shot hole borer. It's called the shot hole borer. Here's a borer, B-O-R-E-R. It bores into the tree. So it has to develop over this centuries, evolved to the way it lays its babies and does stuff is that it bores a hole into the tree and it lays a fungus. It lays a fungus and then it lays the eggs. The fungus grows into the tree and then the babies, when they hatch, they eat the fungus. Okay, and because it bores into the tree, you can't spray it with pesticides or any of the stuff. You can't really get at the bug. So they're having a hard time with the pesticides and systemics and stuff like that. And so that's why it's spreading around. That's one of the reasons why it's spreading. The real reason is stress. Remember, the higher the stress, the greater the press. So trees get stressed out for many different things. Mankind stresses trees out. They're the world's best stressor. They stress everything out. So the climate change is man-made. You know, you have climate change that are natural, but we're talking about a whole completely different ballgame. And so, yeah, it's stretching the tree, the local trees and the local forests, because we have changed the climate so much, et cetera, et cetera. That's out in the forest and stuff like that. That's something that's a different way to deal with it. Keep hearing breathing. but if you have, just say like University of Southern California, they have 10,000 white willows, and they're all getting attacked. And they're trying to figure out what pesticides to use, how to deal with it. So the stress there was caused by them using, they like to, you know, they're recycling their lawn water that they're using. They're using chemical fertilizer with a weed and feed into it. And high nitrogen fertilizer, and they're recycling that water to the trees. That's the cause. That's well, the cause is the humans doing that, right? There's always a cause and a law and cause and effect. And I found there's actually a cause and an effect and an effect and an effect and an effect, and all the different ones. People think it's a cause, you know, but it's really a continuing effect from the previous effect from the previous effect, which leads to the final cause, which is usually us. But so what happens is that the high nitrogen fertilizer that the trees are getting, high nitrogen inhibits the absorption of minerals. Yes, high nitrogen will make your trees grow fast, or the rapid growth, which is really very stressful to the tree. That's one thing that's going on here now in Malibu. We had a lot of fires, you know, and a lot of things got damaged, and people want to know what should they do about their tree, whether a tree is alive or not. That's another story there that's easy to explain. But basically, one guy is going around saying, I will inject nutrients into your trees, and they'll be fine. Just one shot, and they'll be fine. Very inexpensive. So people say, well, how come you can do that inexpensive and you charge so much for what you do? And I said, well, here's the thing. Miracle-Gro is very cheap, and I'm not going to mention the name again because I don't like to give them free advertising, but all chemical fertilizers are very cheap, but they don't do the job. You know, they encourage rapid growth. We have been taught we want to see things growing really fast. So they encourage rapid growth at the expense of health. basically, is what it comes down to. So they get rapid growth. High nitrogen makes a plant go whoosh. And some of them are fertilizer, like the nutrients this guy's injecting. It's not just nitrogen. So it's probably have iron. It probably has some magnesium in it. Maybe it has some copper in it. Nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, right? There's usually about five elements that's in it. If the guy's really good, it may have a few other things from calcium. Remember, you need 96 of them. There's no way. And even if you could inject 96 minerals into the tree, it's still not going to do it. Why is that? Gee. So let's just think about this for a second. Okay, so I like to give examples. So let's just say you're sick. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you're sick. So I'm going to give you, take two of these pills, and you'll be fine. Is that going to do it? Okay, take four of these pills, you'll be fine. Right? Is that going to do it? Does that solve your problem? It makes you feel a little better, but you didn't really solve the reason why you're sick. Like they said, take these pills, so you can do whatever you were doing before, it was fine. That's only a very simple, basic example. But the truth is, you're not going to get the results you want, which is having a wonderful, healthy tree, if you don't deal with the soil that the trees are growing in. If you don't treat the health of the soil, and the trees are growing in the soil, no matter what you do to the trees, the outcome will still be the same if you don't deal with the health of the soil. And I don't understand the logic behind what's going on, other than the fact you have been brainwashed, right? Because it's the same thing with the human body. If you go to a doctor and you say, doctor, I'm really sick, not doing well. The doctor should say, well, what are you doing? Oh, you're eating junk food again, are you? You're drinking the weirdest beer you can get your hands on. You're eating the weirdest food you can get your hands on. Yeah, maybe you may want to stop doing that. maybe you don't want to be drinking lots of dairy and lots of junk and GMO food and GE food and all this stuff. He doesn't say a word about that. He says, hey, I want you to come by every 2 weeks. I'm gonna test you. I'm gonna give you these drugs. Take these drugs. You'll be fine. Come back in 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks for the rest of your life, you can come back and I'll give you more drugs or whatever else. We'll figure it out. You ain't gonna solve the problem. I think it's on purpose. That way you have somebody coming back over and over again, like a pest control guy coming to your home and say, well, I'll do this every month for you. I'm not going to deal with the cause because I'll solve the problem. You never have me come back again, but I'm just going to do this, pesticides. I'm going to kill these ants. You know what happens if you kill ants? You're going to get more ants coming back. Doesn't solve the problem, does it? You want to control. That's why I want my book is Dances with Ants. Not how to kill more ants, it's Dances with Ants. I tell people it's much better to have them as your army working for you than you fighting them. You won't win. You can fight them all you want to. There's this movie I saw. I think it's called The Ants. I'm not sure the name of it. But it basically starts off friendly, a nice movie. People walk around their homes, and there's a countryside, stuff like that. Next, you know they're being invaded by ants. Turns out the ants are heavy, mutated from a leftover nuclear waste site, and they're giant ants, you know, so they're attacking. People are fighting them, shooting them with this, flamethrowers, all kinds of stuff. At the end of the movie, the ants are still there. And the people have sort of killed themselves off. They're still killing the ants, but the ants are still there. They call me more and more and more ants. Doesn't solve the problem. And interesting enough, the way to control ants is to deal with the soil. Guess where? Ants live in the soil. Duh. They're natural organisms in the soil that control the ants. The whole soil thing is absolutely amazing. And interesting, too, is like I have another show called The Body and the Garden, which I will be doing here also, too. I do them on TalkShoe, but I'm going to be inviting the doctors to come over here, and we'll do a show here once in a while to introduce you to it. But basically, we talk about the correlation between the soil and our stomach and our body. You'll find this amazing because we evolved from the soil. Okay, so if you want to solve your problem, now scientists and doctors are going that the real brain in our body is our stomach. Okay, and it's true. And it's the same thing with the soil. The brain is in the soil. A living organism, the soil is the oldest living organism on our planet. It's the first gardener ever, and it's going to be the last gardener. The beginning of the food chain and the end of the food chain. Guess what happens when you die, right? You get eaten up by this gardener, and this gardener wants to have the best food available because he wants to eat the best food. So it's really a good gardener making you grow healthy so he can eat you. And everything dies. Everything that dies goes back to the soil. And that's the key to it. The health of the soil, the mycelium, is what feeds the trees and feeds everything, and in turn feeds us. See? The job of the mycelium is to take minerals and convert it into a form that the trees can handle it. And then the job of the tree is to convert it into a form that can be eaten by us. So it's all about trace minerals. And I tell people, you know, one lady went to a soil workshop. And the lady, the worker said, the speaker said, you don't have to worry about trace minerals. It's already in the soil. Well, that may be true thousands of years ago, but not now. It's called soil depletion. You take it out, you got to put it back in again. Especially if you take it out and if the system isn't working. If the system is working, then you know, you can take it out and more will come back. But you still got to put the minerals back in because they ain't coming out of nowhere. That's why I started with remineralization. That's why I started with rock dust, okay? And you can go to remineralization.org. They tell you all about rock dust, and they tell you sources in your normal, in your local neighborhood, in your local city, your local state, right? So the BRICS reading is really a measurement, a guide that helps you understand your minerals in a plant. So to make a long story short, that bug that's attacking the tree, the borer's attack, would not attack the tree if the tree was healthy and has. I told myself a long time ago, what makes that tree healthy? Why are the bugs not attacking it? See? They're not attacking it because the bugs have a built-in refractometer. They look at a tree and go, nope. It has to do with the color that it gives off. See? So we have a certain range of vision. And nowadays you can buy these glasses made by NASA that you put on. It allows you to see how the insects look. But I was fortunate enough to be able to see, have a wider range of vision than most people. So I can look at a tree and go, something's not looking right there. See? And so so they can see that tree, you know, and the key here with this particular borer is that it knows that the fungus would die if it was to be put in there to grow. If the fungus dies, what's the point of having my babies there? They're going to starve. And it's only did this after many, many years and many, many evolution trials. Put something and it doesn't grow well. Put something and it doesn't grow well. Maybe we should do it over here. Yeah. And then they learn from experience, which then pass it on through their genes to their children and their children. This is a type of tree we want to do the fungus in, and it has to be this specific thing. And if they could talk to you, you would say, yeah, it's missing this particular, I call it exotics, particular trace metal. If it's not there, then we can go ahead and do our thing, because that's Mother Nature's way of saying, this is how you're going to get, this is how you clean up the forest, this is how you clean up the junk. These are going to die because they don't have this, so clean them up. Get it? So, and that's a key to it. It's the same thing with, for example, I wrote an article, How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You. Well, you keep them from biting you if they can't find you. If they can't find you, they can't bite you. See? Right? And so as a kid, I used to go to, when I went to high school and college, well, maybe I did in college, maybe by then I grew up. And in high school, I used to take a clove of garlic, cut it in half, put each half in my shoe and walk around smelling like garlic all day. It would come out through your skin. I call it back flushing because it actually cleans your skin, your pores out. But you stink of garlic. And garlic is toxic to mosquitoes or in a variety of other soft-bodied insects. So if they smell that garlic, they're going to go the other way. They're not going to find you to bite you in the first place. See? And so that's the same basic principle that I've been following. And that's what I want to teach to you folks. What's the deal with the refractometer? What's the deal with the BRICS? Well, you don't absolutely need it if you're fine. If everything's growing beautiful, you have the most amazing plants and people coming around going, wow, wow, and the bugs are going leaving left and right, then you're fine. It isn't broken. Don't fix it. But if you have a problem and you want to find out what the problem is, right? But solve the problem, law of cause and effect, then you learn how to use tools. And this is one of the best tools you can learn to use because it will immediately show you. So if you do a brick reading and your tomato is a bricks of 20, you'll go, oh, something's wrong here. You may not be able to tell by looks. Because remember, that high nitrogen you're feeding that tomato plant, it's making it grow really fast. It may even look good, but it won't have the minerals in there. That's the problem with growing conventional. They look good because they have all the basics they need, right, to grow. You're pumping them with fertilizers that have all kinds of stuff in it and make them grow, but they're still missing the trace minerals, which they usually get from the microbial in the soil, but the chemical fertilizer kills them off. See? Anyway, that's my show for today. Let me do this, okay? This is another song that I wrote. I think you'll like it. Here we go. Hang on.
Give a little love to me.
Happy growing organically, folks. See you next week. Let's just let the song go for a while. Bye. Oh, I'll be back. I'm doing a music show right up to this, I think.